Yes, folks, unfortunately for worldwide socialism, the hour of the time is now on the air. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
You know, folks, I spent a good portion of the last couple of days in books, buried up to my elbows in books, as a matter of fact. And I found out that there are 5 known races in the entire world. One is Negro, one is Mongol, one is Oriental, one is Semitic, and the other one is Caucasian. In no book, from no scientific source, from no place whatsoever, could I find a race called Aryan. I've been getting a lot of mail from a lot of these people who call themselves Aryan. And their consensus was that since I'm against Aryan, they're against me. Well, you guys weren't listening very well, because I'm not against you. If you want to call yourselves Aryan, that's okay with me. I don't mind that at all. You see, I'm not against Aryan. I'm not against Jews. I'm not against Irish. I'm not against Orientals. I'm not against blacks. I'm against lies. I'm against deception. I'm against manipulation. I'm against the Jewish lies. I'm against Jewish racism. I'm against black lies and black racism. I'm against Caucasians who call themselves Aryans and practice racism. If you want to go off and live by yourself, separate from other people, I'm not against that. It's okay, in my estimation, for you to do that. Until you start forcing your ideas upon other people, telling other people that they're race betrayers, telling other people that they can't marry and be happy with whom they want to be married to and be happy with, organizing in secret and going out and hurting people because they don't look like you. And I don't care if it's a black who does it, a white who does it, a Jew who does it, an Oriental who does it, or a Mongol who does it. I flat don't care. I'm against you if you do that. If you believe that you should propagate your particular race and you wish to marry a woman or a man of your race and have children of your race, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that, and no one is ever going to stop you from doing it. And your assertions that other races are out to destroy your race is absolute 100% bullshit, because no one is forcing you to marry and have children with anyone other than whom you want to marry and have children with. And the only thing that can stop you from propagating your race is yourself. Dummies. And I suggest, if we're going to have a peaceful world at all, that you all have to crawl in your corner and leave everybody else alone. That's the message I've been bringing you. And I've also been tying in the manipulation, the deception, and the deceit that has brought us all to this point throughout history. And it stems from thousands of years ago, from the old mystery religion of Babylon. It's still being practiced today. Now, today was the last day that you could postmark your order for the food offer that we had. So if you didn't get your order in the mail today, if it's not postmarked today, it will not be honored. And today we're going to start a new offer. It's called the Security Unit. It's 19 cases, weighs 575 pounds, dry weight. Remember, this is dehydrated food packed in enameled cans, nitrogen-packed. It will feed 2 people for 1 year, or 1 person for 2 years. I guess it might even feed a half a person for 4 years. What do you think, Carolyn?
Maybe we could stretch it.
You know, we were looking at the family unit that we offered that expired today, and that would feed one person for 4 years.
And I found out you were right with the postage, the shipping and handling. It would be about $1.50 a day, which is a minor miracle.
That's right. $1.50 a day to feed one person for 4 years. Or 4 people for 2 years. Or... Boy.
I got lost.
They hung up, whoever it was. No, I was hearing that that buzzing in the headphones. Whoever we put on hold hung up. Either didn't have any guts or didn't understand that we put people on hold so that they don't lose the line, so that they can be first up or whenever, you know, we get around to it. The security unit, folks. 1 year, 2 people, or 2 years for one person. 19 cases of number 10 cans of... dehydrated food, 575 pounds dry weight, packed in enamel cans, nitrogen packed. The retail price is $1,413. We're going to let it go to listeners for $1,113. That's a $300 discount right off the top. And for CAGI members, $1,000 even. How's that? That sound good?
That sounds very good. I still like the one that we just finished this last week.
Yeah, you guys really missed out on something fantastic. But
a lot of people called about it. You'll be hearing from them.
Well, good. We're going to carry on, though. So, and we're going to take calls tonight, folks. We certainly are. And talk about whatever you want to talk about. And remember, I don't care if you agree with me or not, as long as you are polite and intelligent. If you're not polite, you're going to incur the wrath that you don't even want to come near, believe me, because we will let you know what you are and who you are and put you right in your place. If you're polite and intelligent, you can say whatever you want, especially if you have a good argument. And if you can prove me wrong on any point, that's fine. I'd love to know about that, because the purpose of this program is to propagate truth, get away from the lies and deception, deceit, manipulations of this world that we've all been trapped in all of our lives, me included. And I've just decided I'm not going to live in it anymore. And you know what it's got me? The Jews claim I'm anti-Semitic. The Aryans claim I'm a race traitor, anti-Aryan. The blacks don't know what to think about me, but they're suspicious as all get out. I guess the only people who haven't attacked me are the American Indians. I get some good letters from those people because they seem to be more interested in truth than just about any other group, and I don't know why, and I'm not saying that because I'm part Indian. The part of me that's Indian was so long ago that if you tried to measure it genetically, you probably wouldn't even be able to find it. But it's there, nevertheless.
Then there's that group of people called the UN International Radio.
Radio for Peace International.
International
are attacking me every day now, ladies and gentlemen, since the beginning of this week.
You're paranoid. You're very paranoid.
Yeah.
And you're a liberal nut.
Yeah, I'm a liberal nut. Can you imagine that, folks? I'm anti-Semitic. Oh, and according to them, they're also the greatest liars in the world. This is the United Nations broadcast now. Remember, we're hurting them so bad that they have sunk to the level of having to attack me on Radio for Peace International, a broadcast of the United Nations, and they're absolutely lying. They said that I claim that the government is putting chemicals in our water to make us have bad health and control our mental processes and all that stuff. Well, those of you who have been listening to this program, you know that's a lie, and every program we've ever done is recorded, so we can prove that it's a lie. And they said a lot of other things that are lies. They said that there's no Russian planes overflying the United States, that there's no bear bombers flying over the United States. We can also prove that that's a lie, because they have not only flown over the United States, but landed on airfields, American airfields, and those planes have been present at prominent air shows around the country, including the Russian bear bomber and other Russian military aircraft. So, boy, I tell you, every time a socialist opens their mouth, nothing but foul lies imminent. They don't know what the truth is, wouldn't bother to find the truth or repeat the truth if they have to.
But the listeners to the UN Peace International Radio are going up. The numbers are going up. I've had many calls asking for the frequency.
Oh, yeah, they want to hear it. Everybody wants to hear what they have to say about the Hour of the Tongue. Yeah, y'all should tune in and listen to it. You'll get a absolutely wonderful education into lies, deception, and manipulation. Don't go away. We'll be right back. First up.
Yeah, good evening, Bill. This is Randy in the Chicago area. How are you and Carolyn doing?
Good.
I'm really not too heavy duty into gunsmithing or anything, but I was doing some more looking for Mausers in that 375 H&H. Have you gotten any more information from any of your members or listeners about whether that's going to be a custom job to get something like that, or if there's an actual manufacturer for that for a unit?
No, there's lots of actions out there.
Right.
You just have to locate them, and then what you're going to do is custom work on that action with a barrel.
Okay. Do you do any? I know you're very busy there with the mail and stuff. Do you do any personal mail replies for letters?
Let me
get you a letter. Would you have a knowledge of some recommended gunsmiths that could probably work one of these up, or would you care to?
Yeah, the only ones I know are too busy to do it from out of their local area. You're going to have to find a competent gunsmith in your area.
Now, according to the federal law on firearms and stuff, I can have any FFL gunsmith in the country do this work, right?
Nothing, absolutely nothing illegal about anything that we taught you to do or suggest.
I mean, as far as transporting the item.
Transporting it where? Across state lines?
Yeah, right.
You can't. Well, you can do it if you own it.
Right, but I mean having a federally firearm licensed gunsmith.
Listen to me carefully.
Here, okay.
If you own the weapon, you can take it anywhere you want to.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now, if you buy the weapon in another state, you cannot be in one state and order it from another state without going through someone who has a federal firearms license.
Yeah. Now, if I have this thing shipped, UPS will probably ship it, right? Continentally here.
Yeah, but are you talking about buying it and having it shipped to you?
I'm talking about if I find the parts and then I have to pay a gunsmith to put it together.
Yeah, UPS will ship it.
Okay.
No problem.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye. 602-333-2174. Let me repeat our new food offer. It's the security unit. Two people for 1 year, or one person for 2 years. 19 cases of number 10 cans of dried food. Now, you have to understand, it weighs 575 pounds dry. When it's reconstituted, it would be the same as approximately buying about 1,000 pounds of food in your supermarket. The price to non-CAGI members, that's listeners to this program, is $1,113. CAGI members, $1,000 even. The retail price is $1,413. If you can buy it cheaper than the price we just gave you, I suggest you do it. Otherwise, you better take advantage of our offer. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? Goodbye. Another chicken plucker. Don't waste my time, folks, and don't waste the listeners' time. If you call and you want to talk, stay on the line. If you're not going to stay on the line, don't bother calling. This isn't, we're not playing games with children here. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to comment on the tape you played a couple days ago about the Nazis and the occult.
The last one was last night. We played three episodes this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, yeah.
I believe on the first tape they mentioned something to the effect that interracial breeding or something to that effect would caused a decline in psychic powers. Do you recall specifically what was said?
Well, that's one of the things that was said. There's a lot of things that were said. All of them, the Nazis believed. Very few of them are scientifically true at all. Most of them are just out-and-out lies.
Well, I've done a little bit of research on the occult in the past few years, and you know that the third eye is the location of what they call the pineal gland.
No, I know that what they claim is the third eye is where the pineal gland is.
Right.
No one's ever proven that there's a third eye.
That's right. anyway, I have read some books, or in particular, Mein Kampf, where Hitler talks about not the pineal gland, but the Aryan having the bright spark in his forehead.
Yes, it's referred to as the third eye.
Right. What's interesting is a few years ago, I was at a meeting, and a guy who I later found out was a member of the Klan was talking about blacks and other races did not have a fully developed pineal gland. And I thought it was interesting because maybe this racism is based off of this occult physiology.
No, it's not. It's based upon little people who must feel that they're better than someone else. That's exactly where it comes from. And you'll find that these little people who grow up into these positions of power get there because they're so insecure, they must have that power. Someone who feels secure within themselves never even looks around or tries to get to those positions. And usually when somebody suggests they take them, they're too busy doing other things that are creative and good for people to even care about it.
Well, the reason why I thought that is because, you know, the tape was talking about the Aryan race was based off of the concepts put forth by Blavatsky and so on, and talked about she was one of the promulgators of the concept of the Aryan race.
Yeah, but you have to understand that these are things that the priests of the mysteries grab onto and use to control the sheeple. They don't really believe that stuff.
You don't think so?
Absolutely not.
No way. Don't forget, who was it that said, if you tell a lie often enough, everyone will believe it?
Well, I'll tell you what. In the research that I've done, I've noticed that there's a lot of symbology that refers to the concept of mystical illumination.
Uh-huh.
And it is out there if you understand the esoteric geometry and things of that nature. You know, the Vesic Epiphysis, I don't know if you know what that is.
Yes.
Oval shape.
I do.
That refers to the unity of the male and female aspect of the human.
Yeah, but you see, there's nothing esoteric about that.
Excuse me?
There's nothing esoteric. I don't have to attend any lodges to know about that. I understand what that means without ever having to have gone through 30 levels of illumination or initiation or anything else. And so would anybody if it was explained to them properly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, but in a lot of the, for instance, in Masonry and so on, they talk about the Christos, the Christ force and so on, and that's just the personification of the Kundalini force.
Well,
and goes back to the third eye and that whole thing.
Well, you see, that's all theory. Nobody has ever proven that there's a Kundalini force or that there's a third eye.
There's been authors such as like Gopi Krishna who was, who documented his experiences of illumination and so on.
Whoa, wait a minute. He didn't document anything. He said that he felt this or did that. He didn't prove anything. I can write a book. I am an author, in fact. I can write another book and claim whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make it true.
Have you ever asked yourself why people have to have this word mystical and mysticism, mystic? What's so important about it? Why can't we live like human beings and relate to each other and not get wrapped up in these esoteric big words, you know?
I find it's the basis to their belief of elitism. For instance,
that's what they use to justify to the sheeple why they should be the elite. If you go to the very highest levels of all of these secret societies, I don't care which one it is, you'll find people with royal blood.
Right.
Always. They are the elite, and they're using these beliefs to control the people below them. They dangle a secret in front of them. I've been studying these secret societies for years, and I have discovered that they control people by promising them some secret that if they join and they go through the degrees of initiation, they will learn some mystical secret. And the truth is, the only secret they ever learn is how to control those below them once they've reached a high enough level. That's the only secret that there is.
Well, that may be true, but they still use hidden language and symbology and so on to hide this esoteric concept of illumination. And whether it's true or not, it's apparently speculation of whether this force does exist or not. But I believe that it does, from what I've read.
Can you prove it?
Well, can I prove it?
Yeah.
No.
Has anybody ever proven it?
You can only go off what people have said about it. And
well, then why do you believe it?
Because of the symbology that these people use. Apparently they believe in it enough to employ it in their symbology.
No, they believe it in enough to
know
that
if
they can hook you with it, they can control you and lead you wherever they want you to go.
And get your money and everything else.
Well, that may be true too, but I we can argue about it all night and so on, and I believe a lot of what you're saying is true.
Yeah.
Well, there is no argument. It's never been proven.
Well,
what you're saying is if you believe it. Now, what I'm telling you is if you believe it, then you've made it into a religion. You're taking it on a point of faith, and that is the definition of a religion.
That's true.
And in America, so far, we do have freedom of religion, and if that's the way you want to go, you can. Can I ask you just one thing, too? Can you imagine saying to someone, if you are not one of us, you are nothing? Can you imagine telling somebody that you are nothing? That's why so many of our children grow up to be problems, because they are made to feel that way at some point in their life or from an early age on, and it ruins them.
I appreciate you listening to what I had to say, Bill, and I'd like to show and keep on trucking.
Well, thank you. Come back. You were polite and you were intelligent. We don't agree on what's real and what's not. You see, I have to have proof anymore. I'm so tired of being manipulated that if somebody can't prove something to me, as far as I'm concerned, they might as well just throw it over the river.
Sure.
I'll consider it. I'll put it in a box with a question mark on it. But to me, it's not fact, and it doesn't warrant any serious consideration other than trying to find out whether it's true or not, unless it can be proven.
Okay, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
602-333-2174 is the number. And good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I was wondering, I bought the shares of the
Gannett.
Of Gannett, yeah, and I haven't got my proxy up. When I get them, I'll mail them in to you.
Great.
I was wondering, what's going to happen to all these so-called hyphenated Americans when this New World Order takes over?
Well, they won't exist anymore. But to me, there are no hyphenated Americans. You're either American or you're not.
I'm with you on that, but yet we're totally fragmented as a society. African-American, Mexican-American, Irish-American, and...
Well, you have to understand that this is by design.
Of course.
You see, if African-Americans who call themselves that were accepted in the society and had not been persecuted ever since they were freed by Lincoln during the Civil War, by this time we would have worked through that. But you see, they've never been accepted. And they haven't got the common sense that when they were offered welfare, not to take it. They took it, and that has almost destroyed them.
Oh,
see, before welfare came along, blacks weren't in the situation that they're in today.
No, it's a complete destruction of an entire race, and the same thing that I think we can see with the American Indians.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was intended to do.
Yeah, I love your program. We're in the process of getting a state constitution to see about having a U.S. militia. here in California.
Great. But you don't need a state constitution to have it. You see, it's all in the Constitution of the United States of America. A militia being necessary to a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
There is
no state can go against that.
What about the clauses for what they call paramilitary groups within the state?
You're not a paramilitary group. You're the militia.
Uh-huh.
You cite the law. You carry the law with you. You perform openly. You do not allow members in your militia unit who commit crimes or do stupid things.
Interesting thing, you know, I've never seen a film on the Revolutionary War, and I was wondering if that was because it was not a standing army.
There's a lot of films on the Revolutionary War.
I've never seen one. I've seen them on Vietnam, I've seen them on World War II, I've seen them on everything, but I've never seen one on the Revolutionary War.
Well, there's lots of them all over the place, and recently, within the last 2 years, there have been several big ones that flopped because they tried to make comedy out of it, and it wasn't very funny.
Appreciate the program, and keep up the good work.
I appreciate your call. Folks, don't be afraid to stand up for your rights. Don't be afraid to do what's right. If your militia unit is sworn to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, if you are formed under the law, according to the law, you'll win your case in court if anybody decides to take you there. You see. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, this is Daryl. We were talking about the Black Star earlier.
Turn your radio off, Daryl.
You got it.
Folks, when you call a radio show, you got to turn your radio off.
I just got a copy of the final call. That's a newspaper put on by Louis Farrakhan.
Uh-huh.
And behold, a pale horse is in their book list in there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And your comments earlier, too. Agree with what the other information they put out here about how the they've been controlled after the Civil War.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Louis Farrakhan, and not just Louis Farrakhan, but the Nation of Islam is probably the best thing that's ever happened to the black man in this country. You notice that every black man who belongs to the Islamic Church in America has a job, he dresses nicely, he treats his family nicely, his children have fathers, they are concerned about the community, they're politically active. The only thing I disagree with them about is their racist attitude, calling, it's just, you know, like a white man calling all blacks niggers is the same as Louis Farrakhan calling all white men white devils. It's just not true.
Right. Well, I think you're doing a good job. This message needs to be out. We need to hear it.
Yeah, and we need to stop being led around by our nose, and that's what most of us have been doing all our life.
Right. All right, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Mm.
Boy. Tomorrow night I'm going to read you something from Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry that's going to floor you, and we will reveal the great plan, just exactly what it is, and read you their definition of it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill.
Yes.
I was wondering if you heard anything about the statements that the Secretary of the Treasury made Monday morning regarding outlawing shotguns.
No, I didn't, but they're going to... Let me tell you something. According to treaty and law, everything's already been outlawed. They just haven't been enforcing it. They can't because they don't have a consensus of the public opinion behind them. So what they're doing is they're building this huge propaganda machine to make everybody hate guns. And when enough people hate guns, then they won't need to pass any laws. They'll just come and collect them.
Yeah, I've noticed a total media assault lately. I mean, you can't turn on the television or pick up a newspaper without the guns, guns conspiracy.
But I've said this before, and I will say it again. It is unconstitutional to legislate any laws concerning guns in the hands of Americans. The only way that they can succeed under the law is if they change the Constitution, in particular the second article in amendment. And until they do that, I have sworn to protect and defend the Constitution, and the first person who comes to my home to take my guns will die on my doorstep.
Well, that's my general feeling too. I just found it real interesting that the Secretary of the Treasury came out with basically what I would consider a policy statement. And he talked about people having to register their shotguns and be fingerprinted and have photo ID cards made.
Well, he's an agent of the United Nations, and you have to understand that. He is paid by the International Monetary Fund, which is an arm of the United Nations. He is not paid by the United States government. The Department of the Treasury is not the United States Treasury. It is not an agency of the federal government. It was formed under the Treaty of Bretton Woods as an arm of the United Nations. The IRS and the ATF are both police forces, organizations belonging under the Department of Treasury, which is an arm of the United Nations. And that should tell you why there were all these British planes and British equipment and foreign people concerned with this Waco thing.
Yeah, the Waco thing really...
So as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter what the Secretary of the Treasury says. In my estimation, he's a traitor, an unregistered agent of a foreign power. And when he comes to get my shotgun, I'll shoot him too, right on my front steps, because it's unconstitutional, and I will protect and defend the Constitution. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. Folks, if you haven't taken steps to make sure that you have some kind of real money for what we're facing, you had better call Swiss America Trading right this moment. You need something right now that functions as money, that's non-confiscatable and non-reportable, but don't let that fool you. You know, at some future date, all they have to do is change the law, and everything, anything, can be confiscated and may be reportable, including your underwear. So, for right now, our sponsor can offer you non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets, which if you get them under those conditions and make sure that you are responsible to safeguard them and take the necessary steps to make sure that no one else knows that you have them, later, if such a ruling were made, wouldn't affect you now, would it? Unless you wanted it to. But now is the time to take those steps, not later, folks. You must not procrastinate. I don't care if all of this turns out to be baloney. If only 10% of it turns out to be true, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. I think some famous person on television one time called it deep doo-doo. And that's exactly what it is. So you need to take the steps now. You need to get your food supply. You need to get your hard assets. Remember, throughout the history of the world, there's only been really one thing that has protected assets from loss in real terrible economic times. And that's been precious metals in its various forms. Now, as a listener to this program, you're entitled to red carpet treatment. You're also entitled to receive a whole bunch of written material with some good information that you need to read. So call our sponsor. Make sure that you also talk to them about how to protect what you worked all your life to accumulate up to this point. And make sure that you have the Constitution, your rights, foremost in your mind, because if we lose all of those, and we've already lost most of them, I can assure you, you won't be allowed to have any assets or accumulate assets, folks, nor will you be allowed to pass an inheritance down to your children. This is all spelled out. They don't hide these things. It's what's coming. You know, several years ago, I told people what was coming, and all of those things have come to pass today. I've only been wrong one time. People who listen to me have literally made fortunes. And I'm telling you, you better listen to me. Call Swiss America Trading now. Take at least part of your assets and make sure that you have those assets protected. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. 2646. Thank them for sponsoring this program. Mention my name, William Cooper, and ask for all the free literature and newsletters that you're entitled to as a listener to the Hour of the Time. Do it now. You know how you tend to procrastinate. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
My name's Tom from North Carolina.
Hi, Tom.
I am a gunsmith, and I really was impressed by your show on the 375 H&H rifle. But something I've noticed with the people calling is that, well, I guess the best way to say it is just that I think personally that they would spend their time better finding a good gunsmith and developing a rapport with him and telling him that they want a heavy 375 rifle and letting him worry about getting the parts, getting the actions, getting the barrel, stuff like that, because that's what they do for a living.
Well, I thought we had gotten that point across during those broadcasts, but evidently we didn't, because we've gotten a lot of letters that say that people really didn't understand some of the things that we were trying to impart to them.
Yeah, it's... I sort of get the impression that there's all of these people walking around with a sack full of parts that aren't going to go together.
Well, that could be. We made the point, folks, and I hope you're all listening to this. We made the point that we didn't have time to go with you step by step and tell you all of the things that you needed to do, nor did we have the time to give you a list of names of gunsmiths or places where you could get these things. What we gave you was the general major points of what you needed to know if you wanted to build this rifle. And we had 2 hours to do it in. And actually, I thought that John did an admirable job during those 2 hours.
Yeah, I did too. I was very... Well, when I first heard the first of the show, I thought this guy's just gone off of the deep end. But by the next morning, I was figuring out where I was going to get my parts from.
You know, when I first
thought about it,
when I first heard about John and about the rifle that he had built years ago, in fact, he built this rifle, I thought it was nuts, too, until I saw the rifle and I saw the figures on the rifle. And by the way, all those of you who wrote me and told me that his figures on the 375 H&H Magnum of the 7,200 foot-pounds of force was wrong, you're looking at the wrong figures, folks. He was giving you 7,200 foot-pounds of force on the improved 375 H&H Magnum, measured 15 feet in front of the barrel.
Yeah. I looked it up in P.O. Ackley's book, and that's one of those cartridges where you really got a serious increase.
Yeah.
I've talked to a few people that I've been able to find. They had some knowledge of the cartridge, and they were all pretty well, you know, pretty much supportive of the... what he was saying about the bullet weight, intending to put bullets into the different weight bullets into a fairly close area, and also that that's a hell of a muzzle, and muzzle velocity increase off those bullets.
Absolutely, and that's with a 28-inch barrel. Now, actually, it's 27 and about 6 7/8 because he did a recessed crown on the front of the barrel, and then he put a compensator over that, so you can't see the crown work, although it's beautiful. Just think, you know, with a 30-inch barrel, what kind of muzzle velocity you would have? You would add almost 200 to the figure.
Yeah, the only thing about a 30-inch barrel is finding a 30-inch blank. The only thing I've been able to find is just a straight just a straight tube, no taper.
Guess what? I can't tell you where I got it because I promised I wouldn't, but I found one. And I'm in the process of making mine with a 30-inch barrel.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would make a huge difference.
Yes.
That's really all. I've been sitting here listening to these calls, and, you know, we have, I mean, I can just see these guys running out and buying a 96 Mauser and then trying to find a barrel someplace.
I know.
Work, you know.
That's why we told them that they have to find a local gunsmith and work with them. And if they don't, we're not responsible for that.
The only other thing that I have is a friend of mine recently got in a little shooting scrape. And without going into a whole lot of details and eating up your time, the police, now he was shot. He did not fire back at the person who shot him. In fact, he was shot in the rear end and trying to get, you know, avoid the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And when he called the police, the first thing they did was grab him, toss him down, cuff him, and go into his house and take every gun he had, leaving him defenseless against the guy that shot him.
The police today are not the police that we knew when we were kids, nor are they the police that our parents taught us to respect and help. The police today are Nazi SS stormtroopers, and you better watch out.
Yeah, they left him laying open. If the fellow had still been, you know, I mean, if the man had still been trying to kill him, he'd be dead now.
Right in the next county here, Navajo County, under Sheriff Butler, whom we're trying to get rid of here in Arizona, two of his deputies went out to answer an animal call. These people called because there was a stray dog in their yard or something like that. And when the sheriff's deputies got there, they forced their way into the house, inventoried the contents of their house, and specifically their weapons. And the people were protesting, trying to make them leave and tell them that this was unconstitutional. They couldn't do it. And they ordered them to sit down and shut up, or they'd arrest them and take them to jail. Can you imagine? This has happened twice in Navajo County under Sheriff Butler.
Maybe I'm just going paranoid, but I just started wondering if this is some new ploy they have to, you know, to grab whatever they can get from anybody they, you know, I don't know, just take advantage of whatever situation they have. Resistance.
Absolutely. When the time comes to take our weapons, they want to know who's got them and where they're at and how many there are.
Yeah. Well, if I was doing to me what they were doing, what they're doing to us, I wouldn't want me to have a gun either.
Well, I pity the man who comes to my door to grab my weapons or force his way into my home to inventory my house. It's not going to happen. Either he's going to die or I'm going to die, but I guarantee you, I'm not going to die easy.
Yeah.
And neither is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Although they've done it years ago with the United Nations Treaty and everything, in the minds of Americans, it still exists. And as long as it still exists in our minds, we're going to fight for it.
You're right. You know, I have this constant question in my head about whether we're enough to make a difference. But if we weren't, they wouldn't be paying so much attention to us.
Look at the difference Helena Petrovna Blavatsky made.
Yeah. Look at 2% of 250 million, too.
That's right. Look at the difference Hitler made.
Thank you, sir. You're doing a fine job.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night. Look at the difference Jesus Christ made. I could go on and on and on and on, folks. Most of the major events in history, most of the major effect upon the human race throughout history, most upon the major changes that have occurred throughout history have been brought about by one single lonely person who believed wholeheartedly in what they were doing. Whether it was right or wrong, they believed it, they went for it, they made it work. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Oh, I'm picking up your show on WWCR. You're coming in clear as a bell. This is Bert from Chandler.
Hi, Bert. We're also on Galaxy 3, Channel 17, 5.8 audio.
I don't get that stuff. I just pick you up on a shortwave. But I'm impressed with your show. I've just been listening to it for about a month or so now. It's striking a lot of harmonious chords with me. I was wondering, I'm interested in maybe doing a write-up on your show for the Arizona Libertarian Newsletter.
Yeah.
Would there be a way that I could get information about your show so I could make sure that it's accurate?
Call Carolyn anytime during the day, and she'll put you in touch with me.
Okay, that sounds real good. I really appreciate what you're doing out there, and it's refreshing to hear a voice like yours out there on the air.
Well, I wish there were more.
Well,
there are not too many people interested in truth. They're interested in their agenda, their manipulation, their set of lies, and we're just not interested in anybody's set of lies. We're only interested in the truth here. And we don't care who it helps or hurts, even if it hurts me.
Oh, well, you pick up John Dale down here?
No.
No? Oh, you ought to hear his show sometime, too. But
John Dale. I know John Dale.
Yeah,
the middle of the damn night show.
Oh, no, that's Duke Sherlock.
Oh, okay, I got him mixed up then. That's Duke, yeah.
Yeah, that's Duke.
Okay, Duke. I know who John is. He's on during the day in Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, I'll follow up with this, then, because if it's all right with you, I would like to do a write-up on your show. I'm doing an irregular feature regarding...
Well, that's okay. This is
broadcasting that would be of interest to libertarians.
That's okay. This is an irregular show.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, Duke Sherlock, middle of the damn night show. I've been on his show. I had to drive down to Phoenix and wait around till midnight to be a guest on his radio show. Well, that's okay. We would be on for 4 hours, then we'd all go down to Denny's and eat breakfast, and then we'd all zigzag home. We'd be so sleepy. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Is this Bill?
Yes, it is. If you called Bill, you got him. If you want George, I'll give you another number.
Okay. Curious as to where, if, and how the Church of Scientology fits into the Illuminati.
Church of Scientology doesn't fit into the Illuminati. Church of Scientology was an Office of Naval Intelligence mind control experiment. L. Ron Hubbard was an officer in the Office of Naval Intelligence. If you go to their major conventions, you will see that all the high up muckety mucks wear naval uniforms.
Well, you answered my question.
And they'll hate me for that, but it's the truth, and I don't care if they hate me. They've done some good stuff with the IRS, I'll tell you that.
Well,
but you know what? They've given up now.
Another question.
They've given up now because the IRS has given them a favored church status.
I see.
So now they're not fighting them anymore. So we know where their head's at. They just wanted their own break for themselves. They really didn't give a damn about the rest of the country like they were claiming all the time that they were fighting the IRS.
My other question was, should I try and get my friends who are being lured into it out, and that answer?
No. This show is about freedom. If they want to be in that church, leave them the hell alone. Who the hell are you to tell them to get out?
Uh-huh.
They got to find their own point of truth. And if somebody really wants to be a puppet, all you can do is show them the truth. After you've shown them the truth, if they still want to be a puppet, leave them alone. We're about freedom.
Yeah. See, I haven't even gotten to showing anything yet, but
yeah.
At least I got a little more information from you and the other CADGY members here in Northern California. Look forward to seeing you in San Jose.
I'll be there. That's right. I'll be there at San Jose Convention Center for Preparedness Expo 94, the 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yes.
I'll be speaking as the featured keynote speaker on each one of those nights.
Uh-huh. Look forward to seeing you, Bill. Thank you very much.
Okie doke. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
602-333-2174. I guess tomorrow night I'll have to give him a number to call for that preparedness expo. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah. Bill.
Turn off your radio.
I just did.
Good.
Bill, hey, I've been listening to your program now for a few months, and I think you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
One of the things that I can tell you through personal experience, back in 1980, I joined the Masons for a brief period of time, and then when I saw what was going on in there, I got out of there in a hurry.
Good for you.
The first thing that, you know, people have to ask themselves when their relatives want to join an organization like that, why is that fellow taking an oath, or as they call it, an obligation, that my throat will be cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn from its roots, my body buried a cable toes length from shore where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, should I ever attempt to reveal any of the secrets of Freemasonry unlawfully to anyone, so help me God and keep me steadfast.
Yeah, and they claim there's no secrets. Who are these people that take an oath so frivolously that they say that there's nothing to those oaths? Well, if there's nothing to those oaths, then there's nothing to the oath they take when they go into court. There's nothing to any oath that they take.
And then why is it that when you ask, a Royal Arch Mason, are you a Royal Arch Mason? And his answer is, I am that I am. That's a blasphemy.
Yeah.
That's a blasphemy. Why is it they all...
Well, it's a it's a blasphemy if you're a Christian or if you belong to the faith of Judaism. But if you're not, then it's not blasphemy.
Yeah, and also, why is it that the chapter leader is called Worshipful Master? In the book of Matthew, what is it, 23, verse 10, and neither be ye called master, for one is your master, Christ. And these guys go around basically exalting themselves. If you ask them, if you want to have fun with a Mason, ask him, well, when did you join the organization? And rather than saying, well, I joined in such and such a date, he'll say, I was made a Mason.
No, he'll say, I was raised.
Well, I've heard him tell me, I was made a Mason. In other words, they were created by their Masonic creator.
Well, that's their second birth. They're born again. That's why they're raised.
And devils.
Yeah, they're raised up by the grip of the lions.
Let me tell you what I heard recently. It was yesterday on Gordon Liddy's program during the day. Liddy pointed out that ATF has now acquired a number of these attack helicopters, like were used in the Gulf War, so they can start attacking more and more people like the Davidians were attacked, without shooting themselves in the butt like they did in Waco. And these thugs for the ATF now have these attack helicopters with air-to-ground missiles and night-fighting equipment.
That's okay. The Arizona militia has ground-to-air missiles. All legal.
Good. And, oh, by the way, too, in Houston today, where I'm calling from, they were supposedly having a hurricane preparedness drill. But guess what? There were all these funny little black helicopters being manned by feds, not the Department of Public Safety, as was being claimed.
Yeah.
And they were all flying around Houston with probably setting up, probably casing the area, trying to see how they could best surround and attack the
city. They've done it in every major city in the United States as preparation for urban guerrilla warfare to round up known patriots who will fight for the Constitution and for our freedoms.
Absolutely, and I think you're doing a great job at exposing all of these.
They're traitors.
Oh, life.
They're traitors, and I can say this and prove it. I have documented it. I can prove it in any court of law, and if they ever arrest me and take me into a court of law, I will use that as my defense. I am doing what is demanded of any patriot to do when they see this country being destroyed, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights being destroyed by these scum-sucking traitors.
Well, that's exactly what they are, and I mean, anything less, I think, would be too complimentary. I mean, go even back to the days of JFK, God rest his soul. JFK bought the farm whenever he did two things. First of all, on June the 4th of 1963, he started issuing United States notes to circumvent the Federal Reserve notes. At about the same time, he called upon the people of Congress, the Congress, to conduct the first public audit of the Federal Reserve, which, of course, has been around since 1913 without a public audit. Now, he was murdered on November 22nd. Years later, in the fall of 71, I was DJing at a little radio station in Victoria, Texas, 6 p.m. till midnight shift, and the story came out that Congressman Wright Patman, Sr. of Texas, said, hey, look, back in 63, JFK wanted us in the Congress to audit the Federal Reserve. Well, he was assassinated, and in the ensuing chaos, we never got around to it. Guess what? 3 days later, Wright Patman was dead of mysterious and unknown causes.
Yep.
So the little Masonic Federal Reserve bankers, all of whom, of course, were CFR members, just like every...
Are you a new listener?
Yes, well, fairly new, the past couple of months.
Well, you know, I've got to bring this to a close because we've covered all this on this show.
You know, and the whole thing is that these, every one of the Warren Commission members, of course, was a CFR member, too.
You didn't hear me. They were also Freemasons.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
We've covered all this on the show.
Who was their attorney? Leon Jaworski.
Yeah, excuse me. We've covered all this on the show. We don't like to go back and repeat things.
Bill, you're doing a great job and keep up the good work. And I think time is getting very, very short before everything hits the fan, probably this year. What do you think?
I would say absolutely right, especially if the United Nations is attacking me in their radio broadcast. It's shorter than we think.
A lot shorter. And God bless you and yours.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Well, Bill, what's going to happen? We're having a 50th anniversary UN bash in 1997?
Well, maybe there won't be a United Nations in 1997. I think the American people ought to go there bodily, rip down the United Nations building, and kick those bastards right off our soil. And folks, if you don't like the language, go somewhere else. We're at war, and I really don't care.
May I remind you that you did say that about the Federal Reserve last March or sometime, that the only way was to nationalize it or to take it over.
Sure.
And tell our enemies that it's too bad, but we are going to close our borders and put our country
Well, we don't have to, we don't have to close our borders, but we should nationalize the Federal Reserve. We should cancel the debt by decree. We should back up that decree with the full force of our military might. And we should go back to the Constitution, constitutional government, and get rid of all these traitors that we have in this country. But that's a little bit too much to ask because most Americans are sheeple. It'll be less than 3% who fight for this country when it comes down to it. And those 3% will be victorious. It may take a long time, may take years, but they will be victorious. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I want to call in, I'm calling in regard to the caller about 20, 30 minutes ago who was, he said he'd researched the New Age movement and, you know, was citing all the types of secret society dogma.
Well, it was obvious he didn't do much research because he was citing things as fact that are not fact, that nobody's ever proven, that are just manipulations. And sounds good, and everybody sits around and goes, aum. They don't even know what aum means.
Well, my central, I'm sure I didn't think of it, but maybe I did. Maybe someone else did. But what I like to say is that even correct conception can't replace direct perception. And I know this may sound New Agey, but I don't follow any type of organization or philosophy or dogma or intellectualizing. And that's what I feel most people of European descent, of which I am one, seem to feel a need to grasp for answers intellectually and dogmatically, you know.
It's okay to intellectualize. In fact, it's a lot of fun to sit around with people sometimes and just intellectualize, as long as you don't fall for your own bullshit.
That's correct. There are a lot of people who do think they sound, you know, really hot and it sounds logical, but like I said, even correct conception can't replace direct perception. It's a good assist. I feel no institution or form of belief is necessary, but it can be helpful, you know.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that it seems to me that, like I said, Western man likes to twist things around or reinterpret things, and this applies to all religions, Christianity.
Well, they just don't get it. They're trying to make something out of something that isn't there. Life is for living. Life is for making choices, and you should always try your very best to make the right choice. I got to let you go because we're out of time.
Oh, can I just say something?
We're out of time.
I'm sorry.
I don't have time.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Improving your world.
Thank you for calling. Well, folks, that wraps it up for another night. Don't forget, this offer that we're making today goes through and including next Friday. Your order must be postmarked on or before next Friday, or we will send it back to you. Listen at the end of the program for the address and the phone number. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. Some was born in me. My
I'm a heavy man, and someday you'll understand.